So I'll free your minds from all distracting thoughts and generate a pure attitude, pure intention to engage in meditation. Think that as I, my person, is empty of inherent existence, and the mind that belongs to this person is also empty of inherent existence, that I'm not completely caught up in my own samsara. I have the potential to achieve the state of Buddhahood, the elimination of all confusion, all ignorance, all disturbing emotions, and all karma. There is no physical or mental reason why I cannot achieve Buddhahood in this very life. And to do so is not just for my own sake, but by following the path and attaining enlightenment, I can be of most benefit to all sentient beings who have been infinitely kind to me in the past as my mother. Therefore, I'm going to meditate, train my mind in the understanding of emptiness, to achieve that goal of Buddhahood, in order to repay the kindness of all mother sentient beings. Make your entire mind in the aspect of bodhicitta, the unwavering determination to attain Buddhahood, to be able to guide all beings out of suffering. So if your mind in the aspect of bodhicitta, focus your entire attention upon the sensation of the air entering and leaving your nostrils with each breath, and maintain uninterrupted mindfulness of the coming and going of your breath. Now think of somebody in your life towards whom you've experienced strong desire, attachment, or strong dislike, anger, whose very thought, just the thought of whom disturbs your mind. Sometimes it might be the same person towards whom you had both attachment and aversion. And imagine that person in front of you, facing you. Then slowly repeat the name over and over again in your mind and try to remember, experience the disturbance that arose in your mind towards them, either longing desire or aversion and anger. Remember how it felt, especially in your heart. As you repeat their name, his or her name, in your mind, be aware that that name indicates the person, him or herself, towards whom you have this mental disturbance. It is the person identified by the name that you want to either embrace or to some way physically or verbally harm them with anger. The person towards whom you may have a grudge, resentment, and so on. So your disturbing emotions are directed towards the person identified by the name that you repeat in your mind. So now, as you've imagined the body, face of this person in the space in front of you, ask yourself whether the person towards whom you have such emotion is exactly the same as the face or the body or any part of the body. Investigate. Is there any aspect of the body that is the person towards whom you have such disturbing thoughts? Is it the shape of their body, or the sound of their voice, or even their personal smell? Is that the one, is that the person towards you has such emotion? You wish to either embrace or to harm that body, but is that body the actual person? If it's difficult to pinpoint the actual person upon the body, then think about his or her mind. Are the feelings of happiness or unhappiness or neutral feeling in the mind of that person? Are any of those feelings the actual person towards whom you have such disturbing emotions? If the happiness or the sadness in their mind is not the actual person, then what about their intelligence, their capacity to distinguish between this and that? that mental quality, able to know how to see the difference between things, discrimination. Is that the person towards whom you have such disturbing emotions? Again, repeat his or her name and try to find out if there's something in his or her mind that is him or her. Then think about, if it's not the feelings or the discriminations, is it all the rest of his or her mind? Their intelligence, their capacity to have love, kindness, generosity, or anger, or hatred, or jealousy, or pride, all the other emotions and attitudes, are any of those the actual person towards whom you have such attachment or aversion? If you cannot pinpoint the person in any of those secondary mental factors, then finally, in looking at the person's mind, we're left with the six main types of consciousness: mental consciousness, eye, ear, smell, taste, and touch consciousness. Are any of those the actual person towards whom you have attraction or aversion? When you take that person towards whom you're attached, to a beautiful place to look at the scenery, is their eye consciousness experiencing the scenery? Is that them? Is that him or her? when you say the words, I love you, with the thought to please their ear consciousness? Is their ear consciousness that which experiences pleasure hearing those words? Is that the person? And when you swear at them, say, I hate you, you want to induce pain in the ear consciousness? Are you hurting the person? Is that your aim, to harm the ear consciousness, which is the person? Similarly with, you know, giving food, perfume, touching their body. Is the olfactory, the taste, or the tactile consciousness that is pleased? Is that the person? That consciousness? Then remember again, your intensely disturbed mind of longing desire or anger and hatred, that powerful energy which totally dominated your whole being, that was directed at that person. What was the object of your disturbing emotion out there? If you think, oh well, no, it's none of the factors of the body or the mind, but it's a third entity. The person is somebody who exists in his or her own right, who possesses that body, who possesses that mind. If you think that, then analyze. What could be this third entity, this possessor of the body and mind, the object of your disturbing emotions? How does he or she exist independently of the body and mind? How is it possible? analyze your attachment or your aversion. And you see it quite definitely directed towards an external object, an external person who abides in his or her own right in some relationship with that body and mind. But now think of Buddha's explanation that there are no concrete independent entities which are persons, either in relationship with body and mind or separate from body and mind. There is no such thing. The conventional functioning person is empty of existing in that way. But the root of your disturbing emotions is a mistaken belief that there is a concrete, self-existent, independent person out there, existing in his or her own right, the object of my desire, the object of my anger. As there is no such person in reality, then longing, desire, attachment, and anger are mistaken minds. And all of the subjective angst, the longing, the craving, the resentment, the grudge holding, the hatred, are mistaken minds, they're false. They're invalid. The name that you've been repeating of the person of attachment or aversion merely establishes the person in a conventional relationship between the name and the basis of the name, the body and mind. But that body and mind, the basis of the name, is not the person. It is empty of being concrete, solid, independent person. It's empty of being the conventional person as well. Focus on emptiness, the non-existence of the misconceived object of your emotions, and feel the relief, the peace, the tranquility of the ultimate reality of emptiness. Now dedicate the merits of this meditation towards the attainment of your motivation through the positive energy of this meditation on emptiness. May I quickly attain the actual realization of emptiness and progress through the stages of the path to enlightenment, so that I become fully qualified to guide all my other sentient beings out of suffering. By showing them the reality of emptiness, the door to liberation. Then you can stop the meditation. So I briefly heard a discussion on the radio this morning about the latest vogue in psychiatric care is mindfulness, but they don't call it meditation. They try to distinguish between mindfulness and meditation, but it's actually the same. And somebody was saying, well, it just means watching your mind, being the here and now, and when you have a disturbing thought, just drop it, let it go. Well, easier said than done. But you can do it by remembering, if your mind is unhappy, if it's disturbed, it is focused on something that's wrong. The object of that unhappy or that disturbed mind does not exist in the way you think it does. Empty of existing. So, again and again, by remembering emptiness, you can truly practice mindfulness 24 hours a day, even in your dreams. It becomes easy if you make a habit while you're awake. It becomes automatic in a dream. Easier, in fact, in a dream, because a dream is truly an illusion. It's very difficult during waking life to separate what is illusory and what's not illusory. And very difficult to stop the ripening of karma in waking time. But in sleeping time, you can do it like that. You just press the delete button and start another dream.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.